I think before we start, we're all Chelsea fans here. We all have our own opinions. We all have our own feelings towards what's been going on, and we'll just have to respect and agree to disagree with whatever we say. I think that should be stressed.
Except for you and me, Collins.
Yeah, no, you can fuck right off, Matt.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's only fitting to start this episode off just with a big, deep sigh, because, oh man.
Oh, you are teeing this up so good.
Enzo, to me, looks like a more agile, basically a young Chess Fabregas.
A Rolls Royce, man. Gotta sell it.
Messi is the Jorginho of international football. That was a dumb take.
Welcome to another episode of the Flag Stays Down podcast. We're in February 4th. Chelsea lose 4-2 on 2-4. It's written in the stars, boys. But it's been a hell of a weekend. But we'll start with the full house. We got Parker and we got Matt. We got myself, Andy. Parker, how you doing?
Just dandy. In England, it's they do the date the opposite way, so it is. Yeah, exactly. no, everything's good. I was just excited to have a full 2 weeks in my own home without traveling for work, which doesn't happen all the time, and that's always fun, and having a couple weekends at home. So aside from the not so great, you failed to mention we lost 4-1 earlier in the week too, Colin. So losing 8-3 on aggregate in the week, it kind of sucks. And it feels like the fan base is kind of reaching that inevitable breaking point. So it's always a tough time, but personal stuff, life stuff, it's all fine and dandy. It's all good. Made a nice fun steak dinner tonight. So I felt like I was in the kitchen just about all weekend. Did some meal prep. And I just like I said, when I've got a little bit of time to kill, that's kind of how I like to spend the time. So it's been a pretty decent weekend. Kick it to you, Matt. How you been, man?
Been very busy with work. A lot of stuff has transpired at work in the last couple of weeks. So just a little bit busier than I would like to be. But aside from work and whatnot, it's a good weekend. I had my son all weekend. My wife was working, so it was just me and the little man from sun up to sundown. So it was great. My parents came over just to kind of spend some time and kind of keep me company, just help out where they could, give me a little bit of time just to do some stuff around the house too. So no, all was good. My son graciously slept during the Chelsea match, so I was actually able to watch pretty much the whole thing uninterrupted. So it was outstanding. I just wish he had picked a different game to allow that to happen, but hey, can't win them all. Also, one side note, I'm getting feelings that February could end up turning into, as two chains would say, never wary. It doesn't look optimistic right now, so I'm hoping that's not the case, but it damn sure looks like it. Collins, how was your weekend?
Started good. got Aiden out of the house with one of his friends, and so that meant date night for the wife and I. Went to a nice steak dinner. Parker, I didn't make the steak like you, but went and enjoyed one. So that was fun. And then, man, today has just been shit show. As you guys can tell, I can't seem to get my hair to fucking sit down. I nicked my mustache shaving, and so now I had to shave it all, and it's the first time I've been baby-faced in probably a year. And I had to watch that garbage and do my longest run of the year so far. So it's been a day. We'll say that.
cheers to the long run. Even if you was fueled by anger and spite for our team, I mean, getting out there and doing an hour plus run is it's an accomplishment to cheers to. So congrats on that.
Appreciate that. All right. Well, let's have a little bit of therapy session. Let's talk about this rough week that was. Yeah, Parker, as you mentioned, 4-1 to Liverpool. That loss at Anfield. And then today, as I mentioned, 4-2 loss at home to Wolves. Wolves complete the double on Chelsea for the first time since 1979. Just keep setting records. It's amazing. Before I go into my little Pod After Dark rant here, do you guys have any thoughts from the week? Any thoughts on these two matches?
You're on mute, Matt.
First, go ahead. You're the one that watched both.
I mean, I'll start with the Liverpool match. I mean, it was kind of written in the stars that we would lose this one, so I don't think anyone was too surprised. League leaders at Anfield, first Premier League game after Klopp's big announcement. We knew it would be a tough one to win. And so I think, like me personally, I had a lot of just kind of not optimistic but not pessimistic feelings going into the match, thinking like, you know, got nothing to lose. We could shock them. We could pull a little bit of, Mourinho special out there where you spoil some of the party. I quickly learned that that wasn't going to be the case just by the way they were playing and the way, you know, we were not able to deal or cope with the amount of pressure our team was under. Liverpool, you know, they did exactly what they've been doing most of the year. They showed why they're league leaders. And it was really evident when like ball would go into the middle of the pitch for us, especially when it like went to Noni. You know, Noni's touch just was like that much too heavy and he got swarmed and we got crushed. And they were a hard team to press because they were playing just really clean, solid one-touch football for a lot of the match. So our press was ineffective. We gave our press praise last week on the pod. We weren't able to press them. They were all over us. It felt like they were a man up most of that match. So, I thought we did okay, but it just kind of kept coming. Petrovic was under pressure for most of the game. He still looked like our best player out there, even though he conceded 4 goals, which is never a good thing. Nunez did something that's never been done before in Premier League history, which is hit the woodwork 4 times. So, it's kind of a blessing we got out of that match 4-1. I was excited that Nkunku scored because I'm still pretty high on him. So I was happy that he got a goal and just kind of his poise in a tight situation, tight area was pretty stellar for him to be able to turn and kind of feint and bait and find a way to score there. So that was good news, but not a lot else to kind of cheer for in that match. So it was a tough one, but definitely not unexpected for me. And I don't think many Chelsea fans were expecting to walk into Anfield and pull that one off. That was just a couple too many things going in the wrong direction. So I'll sign off and sub Matt in for the Wolves commentary.
I mean, not much better in comparison. We're left with a lot of questions. That's really kind of the only way to sum it up. Like, yeah, we looked great to start, right? Like we got that goal early on. Things were good. And then what was it, like a minute and 20 seconds later or something like that, they come back and score a deflected goal. So, and then you just kind of wait and see what happens, and they score another big deflected goal. Just defensively, you looked very out of sorts. Caicedo looked about as good as he did when he debuted for Chelsea. And in that one, I believe he gave up possession and got red carded. So about the same. You know, he was definitely off. In my own estimation, I thought Enzo looked off. He wasn't really as involved as much as he normally is. So that was a little bit unnerving, I would say. I mean, Raz, who knows what you're going to get out of him, right? In the first half, you see him slow up play. And then the second half, he actually comes out, starts taking people on, which was nice to see. We haven't seen that in a month and a half. And then just kind of fell off the wayside again. There's just a lot of questions. You know, and then you start to maybe think that there's a way back. And then, again, just sloppy defensively. And then Nico misses a great opportunity. I will give him the benefit of the doubt on this one. I will chalk it up to jet lag, even though he's been back in London for a few days. I will chalk it up to jet lag because of AFCON. But just overall, I thought it was just a bad performance. You know, maybe it was just everybody had a bad day on that particular day. If that's the case, fine. But I don't know. They're definitely, like I said, just a lot of questions. And just kind of where's this team at and where can we possibly go?
Yeah, a lot of questions. And what is troubling is that the people physically in the situation, manager, captain, vice captain, don't have an answer and have vocalized that they don't have an answer. Ben Chilwell today in the post game mentioned that, oh, Wolves just wanted it more. They had more desire. You know, they were in on the 50-50 challenges. They were running more. They were doing this. They were doing that. I'm sorry, as vice captain and with Reece James out, making you the captain, isn't that your responsibility? If the manager is not getting the team fired up, making the team want it, isn't that then your responsibility as a captain to get the guys fired up? To, you know, we saw it all the time with Dave when Dave was here. We saw it with John Terry. We've had leaders in the past. Ben Chilwell is not. He hasn't shown me that he's a leader. And it's sad because he's what, the third, fourth oldest guy on this roster, I think, behind Raz.
Raz and Silva.
So it's just one of those things that boggles my mind. And it you know, Poch said midweek that this is a meritocracy. And that's why Mudryk isn't playing, because he hasn't shown it. And, you know, Raz hadn't shown it either. I agree that second half he looked better. But he's not 350,000 pounds a week good. I would rather watch Mudryk learn on the job and fail than watch Raz go out there and, you know, dribble past two people a game to earn his paycheck. There, Matt, you're right. There are a lot of questions, and there are no answers at the moment.
Like, I hear you on the Mudryk versus Sterling thing, but like, to me, they're both equally shit. Like, I get that one's younger and one has probably a higher ceiling for Chelsea, but like, Mudryk has been horrible, and at least like, I felt like Raz could have potentially scored. He had that really, really golden opportunity that was really well worked. I think Chills chipped a ball back to him and he dragged it wide. That was painful. But I saw the same thing, not the same thing. I saw a similar situation happen against Liverpool where a ball got crossed into Mudryk and he's one-on-one in the middle, top of the box, and he skied it damn near out of the stadium. So like I'm 50-50 on them right now. Like, I don't care who plays because they've both been terrible, especially recently. They've both been just absolutely terrible. So splitting hairs here. Like, I think what we're figuring out is like a lot of our guys ain't it, right? Just ain't it and aren't playing up to it. If they are it, they're not playing, you know, to the top of their abilities. I think mood or feeling in that clubhouse has to be pretty drab, right? It can't be a fun clubhouse to want to be a part of right now.
Well, for us as you know, just looking at it as fans, when was the last time we strung together two games where you left those games feeling really positive, feeling like, wow, like we're turning a corner here?
Does preseason count? Asking for a friend.
I was looking through our fixture list, and I could go back to the 4-4 City game and beating 9-man Tottenham. Outside of that, it's been real spotty. I mean, even the 6-1 win over Middlesbrough, like, I will put that one aside because that's a mid-table championship team. Like, we should be doing that. But we lost to them in the first fixture. We beat Preston 4-0, but even that championship side against Premier League opposition, I have not felt great about this team. Like, I haven't left a match thinking, wow, like we're turning a corner. Things are sinking in with these guys. They're gelling, they're meshing, they're understanding the message since November 12th against City. That's a long time. That's a lot of games and a lot of suck. And so, boys, that's going to segue me into my little rant here. Pochettino needs to be gone. I'm done with him. I was telling you guys pre-pod that this match was an unforgivable one for me. I understand losing at Liverpool. I understand a 4-1 loss in Jurgen Klopp's first Premier League game at Anfield since he announces his going away tour. And, you know, Liverpool are league leaders. That's fine. 4-1. There should have been a response today. Not necessarily a result, but a response. Gave up the early goal. And then this is the one thing I agree with Ben Chilwell on. They lost control of the game at that moment. Wolves scored. That was it. And, you know, like I said, going back to November 12th, it's been very lackluster. If we're going to, you know, believe in what all the reporters are saying and all the beat guys are saying, that Pochettino is going to be based on growth of this team, where has it come? Where is the growth? Robert Sanchez, we've talked about pretty extensively, just starting at the goalkeeper position. But he never really figured out his distribution. Jordi Petrovic, small sample size. I'll still put him in the small sample size, and I didn't know much about him going into the year. Defense, who's a player who's gotten better? Ben Chilwell has gotten significantly worse. De Sassi has looked shaky since the start. Badia Shiel is terrible at this point. Thiago Silva is getting old. I'm not going to chalk that up. And Malo Gusto has regressed. In the midfield, you've spent $250 million, and Enzo and Caicedo have not seemed to have gelled. They've not seemed to have grown, right? In the attack, who's getting better in the attack? Matt, you mentioned Nico Jackson missing a sitter, absolute sitter today. He's been our best scorer outside of Cole Palmer, but I wouldn't say he's gotten better. Raheem Sterling has gotten worse. I said he's just collecting a paycheck at this point. And we still can't figure out what's going on the right. Noni Madueke, what's he doing? Cole Palmer is okay out there. He's better centrally. Where is the growth on this team? it boggles my mind that you bring in a team of all youngsters and you hire a manager to come in and let that, you know, nurture that growth with them. And we're seeing most of them regress. Where, what is he instilling? What are they working on? What kind of tactics? I still don't know what we're supposed to be doing out on the pitch other than passing the ball around the outside for 70 minutes a game. Everything is too slow. And this is something I noticed today, especially during the Wolves game. You look at the successful clubs. You look at Arsenal, you look at Liverpool, you look at City, you look at Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern Munich. You know, they all have various different forms or systems that they're doing, you know, counterattacking or tiki-taka or gegenpress. All of that is about speed, quickness, quick reactions. We are so slow. Pochettino had a preseason. Graham Potter did not have a preseason, and I'm not bailing out Graham Potter here whatsoever. Pochettino had a full preseason to work with these guys, and he's now had 7 months of this season, damn near two-thirds of this season, to work with these guys on this, and no European football in the middle of the week. Even more training days. Where is the growth? What is he doing? I honestly don't give a shit if you bring in Frank at this point. Matt, I know you're going to fucking tear me apart on that one. There's going to be no vibes. bring anyone the fuck else in. I don't care. Bring Mourinho back on an interim basis. We've gone from player manager to player manager. Guys that the players really love and get along with and all that. We need a fucking hard ass at this point. An Antonio Conte, a Maurizio Sarri, a Jose Mourinho. Somebody to drill these guys and make those tough calls of, oh, you're not fucking good enough. Because right now, we're in shambles. And if the project was to buy all these young guys and be like Brighton, well, good job. We're like Brighton. We're a goddamn fucking mid-table club at this point. That's all Brighton has ever been. So well done. Sack the manager.
Matt, you want to take this one or do you want me to?
Go ahead. I'll fill in the blanks.
I hear you, man. And I'm not here to debate nor fight you on a lot of what you said. I'll clear the air just by saying that. One of the things, two things I want to bring to the table, to help the conversation along. You ask for who has grown. This is like the only thing that like pisses me off about the group chat is when you call out the one guy that I feel like has grown. And you look at our team and you say, we don't have any fucking leaders. You call out the one guy who actually is a leader, who actually does give a shit, who does bust his ass, and who does get pissed off at his teammates for not busting his ass. It's Connor Gallagher. He is the one person out there that's yelling at his teammates, what the fuck are you doing? Get after it. Let's press. Let's go. Let's go hard. Where are you? He's the only one I see that's out there that's doing that. And so for you to call him out, I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you calling him out? Like, he's the one guy I wouldn't call out. And he didn't have his best game today, sure. But he's the one guy I wouldn't call out. I would call out everyone else on the team except Petrovic. Everyone else had a shit game. Like, everyone else played really bad. And he's consistently been one of our best players. He's consistently tried to lead this team. He's consistently given a shit and at least done what we want him to do. So I'll say that. And then the other thing I'll say is, it's a comment I heard during the commentary today, which is, if you want to bring young guys into the Premier League, having two or three of them around a seasoned group of veteran leaders, you have the ability to do that. You have the ability to hide some of that error, hide some of their inexperience, and foster a successful look at me kind of a, this is how we run things, this is how things go sort of leadership style around that. And you give them an environment to foster, right? Or environment that allows them to get growth in. I think you're seeing a regression, but through learning. So it doesn't look like these players have gotten better year over year. And I get that, but they're learning. They are learning through this whole process and they are learning in their failures more than through their successes. And I get that they look worse off, and I get that it feels like we're getting the shit end of the stick here, but it's hard to see what that translates to in year two and year three of this project, because we can't blow this team up. We have these guys on 7-8 year contracts. Like this is a long term. This is going to be longer than the next maybe 3-4 managers, if we're lucky, right? Like we might be seeing Enzo and Caicedo and Mudryk and Nkunku and Palmer. Like we might see these guys for a long time. They might be Chelsea players for a long time. It's hard to see what that looks like in years two and three, but I guarantee you people that go through things like this have the ability to come out the other end having growth, even though it doesn't look like they're growing today, even though it doesn't look like they've improved year over year today. Because I agree with you, they don't look better. Most of our team doesn't. Palmer, Gallagher, and Gusto are the only three that I can pick out that year over year look better today than they did last year. Those are my three. It's just too early to see it. It's just too early to tell. And I think if everything goes well, my optimist eye looking glass, you know, we see the growth out of Enzo as a 26-year-old who's running shit because he's been through shit. He's been through hell and back. He's been through war with these guys. They aren't gelling today, but they have a chance to gel in the future. So that's what I'll say.
Two things, actually three. Thank you for bringing up Connor, so I didn't have to. I didn't feel like going to war with Collins tonight. I know he's pretty heated, so I'll appreciate you doing that in a much more diplomatic way than I would have. Second thing is you got to learn to crawl before you can walk, right? You're going to fall. Shit happens. I would agree with Parker. It looks and feels worse than it probably is in the long term, right? We've talked about this whole thing as a project. We've seen it done many times in pro sports, right? You blow everything up, you enter rebuilding, and that sometimes takes 2, 3, for however many years. Sometimes it never happens, but the plan is to rebuild. This is a full-blown rebuild from top to bottom, right? Like not just the players, not just the manager, top down, new ownership, everything. It's just all new. The other thing is like a lot of these guys, for a good amount of these individuals, it's their first time playing in the Premier League. They're not playing, you know, some like pickup games and shit like that. Like this is a Premier League. You're going to have to learn very quickly. Are they learning as quick as we want them to? No, absolutely not. Then again, this is a huge stage for them. It is something that they are not used to. They are still finding their footing. Sometimes people do, sometimes they don't, right? You know, we can use the Timo Werner, right? Like, great player, just didn't pan out in the Premier League, just didn't, like, cope with it, whatever the case is. Sometimes that's the case, right? You take a gamble on some of these players. Sometimes it hits, sometimes it doesn't. But the idea around, I think the biggest question is, what does growth look like, right? Obviously, as a manager, you have to look at it season to season, right? That's just occupational hazard. This season has been so up and down. I think it's hard to pinpoint a collective team growth. A couple individuals here sprinkled here and there, and I'm not giving them like rave reviews or anything, saying yes, they have shot through. Absolutely. You sprinkle a few here and there. But it as a collective, it hasn't looked outstanding. And this match, me personally, I wasn't expecting much coming into this match, just because we always struggle against Wolves, always. They are a very quick counterattacking team that are relatively solid defensively. They're so quick, and they always have been on that counter. And they didn't even have their leading goal scorer today. Yes, you have two deflected goals, right? Again, I mentioned this in our chat. It feels like every deflection goes in the other team's favor and never ours. That's just kind of what it seems like at this point. Like, I can't remember the last time we had a deflected goal go in for us, but I can count the amount of goals that we've conceded based on deflections, right? To me, you can only control what you can control. Could things have been different? Probably. But again, that's looking at things through a crystal ball, and we can't do that. I think Poch sees out the season. I think it's going to be a moment for a lot of these young kids to either put up or shut up. And then I think, Collins, to your point, if we do get that new manager that is more tight-laced, just kind of like, here's how it's going to work. You either do it or you're not playing. That hard-nosed Diego Simeone type, that Antonio Conte type, right? This is how we do things. This is what you're going to do. If you don't like it, I will sell you. Like, shit like that. I think until we can find somebody like that, which, again, that's a very specific type of manager, it's just seeing where things are able to grow. It is a very young team. A lot of these guys are getting their first taste of Premier League and figuring out what that's going to entail. Seeing the move, yeah, I want to go play at Chelsea. Then you step foot out on the pitch and you're like, oh, shit, this is not what I signed up for. Like, it's a big ask to play for this club. It is. And I agree with you, Collins. Like, you have to be able to play. You can't be Raz out here collecting a paycheck, right? You have to prove that you deserve to wear the shirt. And even if you don't have your best game, you better be running your ass off trying to help out in any other way that you possibly can. If you can't pass for shit, you better be trying to cause interceptions, disrupt stuff, like anything. And to me, and it was when Cole Palmer took a shot from outside of the box and then went near post, probably about 5-6 yards out. When he took that shot, I knew right away that we were losing, just because at that point it triggered something in me where it's like, okay, now everybody's trying to do it themselves. Right away, I was like, yep, everybody's going to try and do it themselves. I don't like it. To me, we're at a point right now where it is a lot of very talented individuals. A lot. Maybe two or three teammates. And that's tough. Doesn't matter. I don't care who you are as a manager. Like, when that's the dynamic, when you have these young players and things like that, everybody's got their own certain way that they want to play. It's tough. And trying to change them into something that is outside of what made them who they are is different, right? It's tough to do. It's a tough ask. Some people can do it, some can't. The third thing, just to wrap it up, just because I can, just vibes from here on out, man. Just vibes.
Fuck you. No, and I understand that it's too early to do the year over year, progress check kind of thing. But we're on the same number of points that we were through the same amount of match days last year. The team hasn't improved. Actually, I think we're one short of last year. We're in the same position on the table. There hasn't been improvement. And I know we were supposed to do away with this, but this is Chelsea. There is a standard. And if you spent fucking $1 billion you need Europe. That we're going to be in Everton territory. It is my fear if we don't make Europe, and I'm not confident of winning the Carabao Cup. I think we get knocked out of the FA Cup next week, and I think our opportunity of qualifying through the league has now passed. We were within 4 points just a couple weeks ago, just like last year. We were within a couple points of Spurs and that whole run. And then we lost about 7 games in a row with a more talented squad. I forgot to mention this in my rant, but I think my opinion, if Pochettino is sacked, Winstanley and Stewart need to go with him. I understand the going for youth. But yeah, as you guys had mentioned, you need to bring youth in a group of veterans with some leadership there. So it seems like these guys were just out there playing FIFA or playing Football Manager. Because this is exactly how I play FIFA, right? Sign all the 17, 18, 19-year-olds, sign 50,000 South Americans, and throw them out there and let them grow. But there's no consequences for me. All those fans are just virtual. They're going to be jumping around Stamford Bridge regardless of what I do. But this is the real world. And whoever authorized this, whoever authorized the youngest ever Chelsea team in the Premier League, needs to be fired. We talk about Boley and American ownership and running the Dodgers and all that. In America here, you do, as the general manager, you do not get 2 shots at a rebuild. You get 1. And this was not supposed to be a rebuild. This was supposed to be almost like a retool. This was not supposed to be a strip it down. Now all of a sudden you're bottom of the table. The expectation this year, and we've heard it through various sources, was to qualify for Europe. That's an improvement on what we did last year. That's not a rebuild. That's a retool. And they fucked it up. So there needs to be a house clearing here. There needs to, the standard needs to be reset, because if we're going to allow this, if this is going to be allowed going forward, then we will be bright. We'll be happy with the occasional Europa League qualification. We'll be happy with a deeper run in a cup. We'll be happy, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th in the table. I'm sorry, but it's not acceptable. Coming off, we're 2.5 years removed from winning the damn Champions League, 2 years removed from being club World Cup champions. And now we're bottom half of the Premier League. It's not okay. I understand that the project, I understand we've been talking project, but for me, the project ends now. It's not fun and games anymore. This is hampering the club and it needs to stop. And you know, Boley and company are contractually obliged to be here for 10 years. So they're not going anywhere. You can't resell an entire team again. You can't do that again. These players are here. They're on 7-year deals. It's the man. It has to be then the management and the sporting directors.
The sporting director, I understand why you're upset with, but like, I just don't know what you think sacking Poch is going to do. Truthfully, because to me, we've done this before and it doesn't result in any new manager bounce for us when we've got the situation that we have. You look back at the last 3 managers we've had and sacking them hasn't done shit for us. So I don't know what sacking Poch, like what's the expectation if we get rid of Poch today? Like, what's the expectation for the rest of the season? Do you expect them to bounce back? Or do you expect more of the same?
No, again, I think this season is gone. But I'm against an interim manager. And I read you guys the report from Felix Johnson that they have a short list. They want to avoid the interim manager if they sack Poch. That's good. That's more time for this new manager to come in and instill what he wants to instill. And it has to be instilled. Because then you've also got preseason. So it's just, it's an extended preseason at that point. It's staying afloat at that point. And yeah, you know, I made the joke to you guys, or not joke, but a comment about, you know, Chelsea Football Club is the Dallas Cowboys at this point. The Dallas Cowboys are managed by Mike McCarthy, who made his name off of underperforming with one of the greatest of all time at quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. Only one Super Bowl in his, what, 7 years in Green Bay? You look at Pochettino, similar situation. He has one of the greatest strikers in English history, Harry Kane. Doesn't win a Premier League, doesn't win the Champions League, doesn't win anything. We know Spurs has not won anything in, I think the last time I looked at that counter was like 5,400 days. It goes to PSG. You legit have one of the greatest of all times, or of all time, in Mbappe. You have Lionel Messi. You have Neymar. You win the Farmers League in France, yeah. But I think the furthest they made it in the Champions League under him was the quarterfinals. He's a guy who underperforms with talent. And I know that I drank the Kool-Aid early on. I was all in on Poch. But it's exactly like what we saw with the club. And it was papering over cracks with him. He was the best available, so he looked great. Because Nagelsmann either didn't want the job, or we didn't want him. Luis Enrique, we didn't want him. Now there are all kinds of managers available. All kinds of great managers available. Now is the time to strike. Now is the time to get the guy who is going to drive success, who is going to demand success at this club. Not a guy who is sitting there today in his post-game presser saying, I'm sorry. If you're sorry, then fucking do something about it. You're the manager of Chelsea. I don't want to hear your apology. I want you to show us. I want you to show us your apology. So if it's up to me, he's gone. He's gone right now. But I think they're going to do their due diligence. The owners are. I think they're going to put together a list. And so I think Poch has maybe 1-2 games left. And I think you have to impress if you're him.
Who wants this job?
Mourinho.
He'll take whatever he can get. So that's my biggest question is, with everything that we're seeing, right? Everybody knows what we're doing or what we're trying to do. You bring in Pochettino. He has his preseason. It's not panning out the way that we had hoped that it would. You start going through this cycle again of Chelsea managers and running through them every 6 months, a year, 18 months, pick whichever one, depending on the manager. Who's going to want that when, as soon as you take the job, you are on the hot seat with a very young team that is still figuring themselves out in much less different system. So if we're going to be running through this same Chelsea with different managers, the revolving door, and young players, and all these different styles, and trying to adjust and things like that, to me, that's almost kind of shooting ourselves in the foot. Because then you are, I would say, even further hindering their development by having all these different managers, all these different styles. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing, right? Because it changes every 6 months or every year. I see it, if we keep up with that manager carousel, I see that being more of a hindrance to the overall project and the growth of our youth that we've spent damn near $1 billion on. I see that as more of a hindrance than I do as a benefit.
But Matt, that's fine. That's fine. I understand that. But what, you know, you talk about these players, oh, they're not going to know what they're doing and, you know, changing systems and all that. What system are they on? What are they doing right now? Do they know what they're doing? Can you tell a system that we're operating right now?
I agree. Like that right now there isn't one, but I'm saying if you do go out and get managers, what I'm saying is in the broader scheme of if we keep doing the old Chelsea and just keep revolving managers because after 6 months we're not where we think we should be with that manager, then you bring in a new manager and a brand new style, which takes time to implement. That's not working out. Then another new manager. That's the thing I'm saying is if you keep throwing all these different styles and systems and everything like that at these young players who are trying to get better, it's going to hinder them more than it's going to benefit them. I agree. I don't know what kind of system we have right now. I couldn't tell you if my life depended on it. All I'm saying is if you do look at it from the flip side of, yes, you have a manager with a system not panning out, then you go to a different manager with a different system. Nah, didn't work. Then you got another new manager with another new system. Nobody's going to know where to play, right? To me, it's almost like we'd be in the same position that we are now with people playing out of position because the previous manager thought they'd be great in this spot, but they're actually better in this spot. I feel like it just causes more confusion and more hindrance on their growth.
See, but I think that this is the complacency I think is occurring at the club is that exact thought process is, well, you know, it's got to be at least a year, right? And we'll reevaluate at the end of the year. And, you know, we want them to go past that. No, not at all. You can't just keep a person in their role because you're afraid of what will happen if you try to make the team better. Just because he's there and you know we're not being relegated at the moment doesn't mean that he needs to stay there. If he's there, the team's not growing, they're not picking up on whatever tactics he's trying to share, and it's been widely noted from his time at PSG that he's not a tactician. There weren't a ton of tactics. Why keep him there when there are better options? You should never be afraid of going for the better option.
Sure. No, I completely agree with that. I'm not excusing Pochettino for any of this. I'm not saying that by any stretch of the imagination. I know he's our manager now, so that's who we're going with, but I'm not giving him a pass on any of this. What I'm saying is I'm going to call it the old Chelsea standard where, okay, we're sixth and we're, you know, as an example, we're sixth or seventh by winter. Nope, not good enough. Sacked. Bring in a new manager. Like that kind of mentality, it can't be that quick fire this early with this young group. That's what I'm saying. It can't be that rapid fire with this young group. If we're talking about, you know, more experience, I would say 24 and up. So give some of these kids a few years. If we're talking 24, 25 years old, then yeah, they're experienced. If they're not doing shit or the manager's not getting shit done, then yes. But this early on in this project, I think it's going to be a detriment if we fire up that manager carousel this early. So I don't want to, it basically means saying I don't want to set the precedent of this so early with all this young talent that we have trying to find their place at Chelsea. And not just the people that are on the pitch. I'm talking about the rest of the youth that is out on loan, them too. I understand improving the club. I'm all for it. Like, by all means, if we can improve the club, I'm all for it. Firing up that coaching carousel, I think at this point with the team that we have and the age, I think it's too soon. Am I saying that Pochettino needs to stay for 2 years? No, not at all. But we better make damn sure that we have somebody lined up to take over and understands what we are asking of them. That's my only thing.
My kind of closing thought on it is just the fact that we still have a chance to win silverware. We're in a final later this month. and we are in the FA Cup still. I know we just lost to Liverpool, and so there's no real logical reason why I believe that we could beat them, but we're playing at Wembley, which we like to do, but we're playing for silverware, and we have a shot to do it. And so, Collins, you said we're not better than we were last year, but if we take 10th and we win the EFL Cup, we go further in the FA Cup, I would argue that's a better season. So there's still room for it. It's kind of just looking at the silver lining of the situation. I hear what you're saying about not keeping, it's the sunk cost fallacy, right? If you have the opportunity to move on, then you should, and don't consider your sunk costs in the system. I get it. But the thing I like about the system we play, if you'll humor me for a minute, the thing I enjoy is that it's more free form, and we have some really good creatives that play more free form, and it's not as strict of a system. But I think that for our players, especially in the long term, but even in the short term, I think, like, I see what they're trying to do. I understand where they're trying to, like, cause chaos, where they're trying to overlap, where they're trying to overload on sides. And you can kind of tell when, like a Malo Gusto is kind of in the middle of the pitch when they're trying to overload on the left and cause some of those overlaps and stuff going on. And then someone like Caicedo looks like he belongs as part of our back four. So, like, the balance of what's going on the pitch, I see it. I just don't think they're skilled enough to execute that today. But I can tell what's happening, and I can tell the freeform nature of allowing some of their creatives float more than being in strict positions. Can it work? I don't know. I'm not smart enough, nor am I qualified to make that judgment call of that. Can that system work in the Premier League? I don't know. But I don't hate it. I think we play a structured system, free form, with a high press to win the ball back early, and pray to God that the other team doesn't have the opportunity to break, because if they break, then we concede. Like, that's kind of our system right now, if I were to try to sum it up. And right now, we don't score enough goals for that system to be viable. If we want that system to be viable, we better be putting in, 2.3 goals per match. So otherwise, we're kind of screwed. We've talked about this ad nauseum on this podcast for the last fucking 6 years, that we don't score enough goals, that we don't have a goal scorer, that we don't have many goal scorers, that we don't know where our goals are going to come from, yada, 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 yada. We've been close to kind of finding ways to unlock those things, but never for those extended periods of time. Those are more blips than they are consistent pulls of results. So it leads us going all the way back to the beginning with more questions than answers, Matt. Like, it leads us with more questions than answers, because guys ever seen, like, the inspirational picture of the guy mining for diamonds, and he turns around, but he's right there, and he doesn't know that he's right on the cusp of breaking through. It's hard to know when you're on the cusp of breaking through, or if this is a sunk cost and we should try again, right? It's hard to know that before you're in it. It's hard to know where in that process you are. I see a lot of the good, and I'm not sitting here trying to defend our team and saying this is good enough, because we're shit. We were shit today, and we were shit against Liverpool, and I'm not defending the team because we're not good enough. And a lot of our guys haven't been good enough consistently. They haven't been good enough. I'm frustrated too, but I'm trying to pick out the positives. I'm trying to pick out the things I can hang my hat on and the things that make me smile, because that's all I got this year, man. that's all I got to go forward with this thing. And I got to believe that we're closer than we think to being a competitive team, not winning the league, but being a top five team consistently and putting out some less volatile performances.
All right. Well, boys, we didn't have any polls this week, so we'll do a little little round table closing thought here. So everybody think of a closing thought. Doesn't have to be short, doesn't have to be long, it can be whatever you want it to be. Just as an example, mine is play David Washington. You got rid of Broya at the end of the market. You didn't bring in a striker. Pochettino has come out this week and said Washington is good enough to be in this squad. And then he doesn't even make the match day squad for either of the last two. He hasn't made any PL2 match day squads. Between the PL2 and the first team, he has a total of 180 minutes this year. If he's good enough, play him. Matt, how about you?
Trust the process.
Parker?
Yeah. mine is around a player, but I think if we figure out a way to unlock Nkunku, because we tried that for like the first 7-8 minutes of the match against Wolves, and I really liked what we saw, and getting him into some advanced positions with the ball at his feet. And then we like stopped utilizing him. And I feel like Broya had a little bit of that too, where they fizz balls into him in the beginning of matches and then never ever did again. Anywho, if we find out a really good way to use Nkunku, I think that it's gonna fix a lot of problems, because I think he has one thing on his mind, and that's goal scoring. And I really like his attitude towards goal scoring.
All right. Well, like I said, we didn't run any polls this week, but make sure to check us out on X at Flag Down Pod. We usually do a poll or two polls after every single match. Maybe we'll start that again this week when I'm not so crabby. But boys, it's been a week in the world of Chelsea. And what was it that Matt, you always say there's always next week?
There's always next week.
All right. On that note, cheers, boys.
Cheers. Cheers.